Hey, Luminosity listeners. It's me, Kevin Quinn. I'm here with
Justin Crawford.
And today we are back for another episode brought to you by us. Self-sponsored. No, I'm just kidding. But today we're going to talk about depression. It's definitely a heavy topic, so we're going to try and keep it light. We're going to talk about what it is, the definition, you know. We're also going to talk about risk factors, treatment, how it's different than, say, you know, grief or sadness or bereavement, because it surprisingly is quite different. And I think we've all experienced a little bit of depression at one point or another. You know, there's situational depression, there's clinical depression, and it's very, in my opinion, universal. I think we've just, you know, all dealt with it. So if anything, I hope you find this episode relatable. I hope it enlightens you, makes you feel a little bit more luminous, as we love to do on Luminosity, and bring some self-awareness as to how you can bring positive change into your own life. So without further ado, my co-host here, Justin Crawford, how are you today, buddy?
I'm doing really good.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah, I'm finishing a Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
I love what flavor? Green apple.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, our colors are green, you know?
I've got one of the
electrolytes in his water.
Yeah, I put like one of those element salts
here.
They're so good, dude. They're so good.
They're so good. It's so good for you too. Electrolytes. Yeah. I love what you just said. There is something about like being able to be luminous, right? And in the way we want to do the show. I think, you know, we're going at it for weeks on end with you guys, and every time we talk about things, we just hope that you're able to relate to these things. And if they're not directly related to you, you know, in some shape or form, I believe every topic is very relatable. So at least you're learning something with us, especially as Kevin tosses me these outlines, and he obviously does all the research for another day. So we'll start with the definition of depression.
Yeah, what do you got?
So major depressive disorder is also pretty much what is categorized as depression, as you mm-hmm. said. So it's a common and serious medical illness that negatively affects how you feel, the way you think, and how you act. Fortunately, it's treatable. Depression causes feelings of sadness and or loss of interest in activities once enjoyed. It can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems and can decrease your ability to function and work at work and at home. So before we go into symptoms, I think that that's an exhaustive definition, right? Because yeah. it could be a lot of things. It seems like it is everything, and it affects every angle of your life. Drake said that a couple weeks ago, where like once something traumatic happens to you or starts affecting your happiness, or you feel like you used to enjoy life and now you're depressed because maybe that thing is gone and done and over with, like depression then just completely wipes a lot of people clean of any joy of their life. So I wanted to ask you real quick, you know, those are the two, right? You have joy and you have depression, you know, and everybody's like, I want to live a happy, healthy life. And like,
that's, do you think they're opposites?
I think they're polar opposites.
I think so too.
You know, and you don't want to be gliding on this spectrum, but they also always say this, which is my question to you, is depression inevitable? Do you think depression is inevitable?
Yeah, I do. Mm. I think because I think we all are going to experience it at some point of our lives. Mm. It may not be like a clinical type depression, but it's definitely going to be situational. Mm. I mean, maybe joy and depression are not polar opposites. Like when I think of the opposite of joy, I think of sadness.
Okay.
And one of the things that we're going to talk about in the outline too, that I think is mentioned somewhere in there, is like how it's different than sadness. Like,
yep.
So maybe it's not the opposite of joy. Maybe it's something else. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but...
And we'll get to that. That's actually a good point. So maybe when we talk about how it's different from sadness and or grief / bereavement, then it'll make a lot... Maybe that will totally make a lot of sense.
But to answer your question, I do think it's completely inevitable.
Mm.
I think it's just like, what's the extent? To what extent is someone struggling with it? How long does it last? What are the symptoms? But I don't think there is anyone on the planet who has gone through an entire lifetime without experiencing some depression. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you find it, like, do you think there's anyone out there that has, like, say you've got a 90-year-old woman, like, do you think that 90-year-old woman has realistically gone her whole life without experiencing any sort of depression?
Absolutely not.
phase?
You know, I would say that everybody has, no matter what.
Right.
So yeah, I guess it is inevitable.
I think it is. I don't think anyone has been able to avoid it. It's just a part of life.
Right. Doesn't have to be a bad thing either. Mm-mm. You know, so we'll get to that. Symptoms: feeling sad or having a depressed mood, loss of interest or pleasure in activities one used to enjoy. That's huge. Change in appetite, which is like not good, but there's ways to combat that. Trouble sleeping or sleeping too much.
Yeah.
So, the one of the two extremes. Loss of energy or increased fatigue, you know. Increase in purposeless physical activity. For example, inability to sit still, your pacing, your hand ringing. Anyway, or slowed movements or speech. Feeling worthless or guilty.
Oh, yeah.
Difficulty thinking, concentrating, or making decisions. And then thoughts of death or suicide at its most extreme. And so before we go into how depression is different from sadness and or grief / bereavement, I think it's important to talk about these symptoms, because I think a lot of times in life, I'll speak for myself, you do feel these. You feel sad, right? And you can't eat, can't sleep. And you know, just a quick example, like when I had lost some friends to suicide, sadly, it was like you kind of go into immediate depression, right? There's coping mechanisms and things like that. And there's a way of to deal with grief and loss, which we've talked about last year, like a process of healing, which we won't go too much into. But depression, and that's the feeling you get. You totally feel depressed and you're down and you're hurt and you don't really know what to do. And so I remember the days where I was like, oh my gosh, he's gone. And of course I was depressed. And you have to really rely on yourself. First yourself and then everyone else, right? When you're combating depression, at least when it's come to its extreme of losing someone, right?
Do you think it's hard for someone struggling with depression to rely on themselves?
Absolutely. It's the hardest thing to do.
Why?
Because you're going to feel so alone in that. That's your friend, or that's the thing you lost, or something really bad happened to you that caused your depression in your life. It's the loneliest feeling in the world, I would imagine. And I have felt that. But I'm saying that it's really cool to kind of challenge that and say, hey, I'm still here. I still got this. People still love me. And you got to work on that first. And then you can go, you know, gather the right people around you, get into the right healthy habits and routines that will help you really figure out how to come out of that depression. Because imagine this, here you are, and you're sitting at maybe like, everybody listening, like imagine you're standing on, I don't know, a sturdy blanket like Aladdin, okay?
Yeah.
Just, is he a Disney reference? I don't know. So the blanket's sturdy, you're on top of the world, you're like hundreds of feet in the air, and depression feels like that rug is done and you go straight down to the bottom of the pit, and then you got to get back up there. You know what I mean? And when I say get back up there, it means you got to get back to where that carpet felt comfortable and sturdy. You got to get back on the carpet. So if it's gone, that was the situation. Situation's gone. And then you go down, like, how do you come back up? And then there's all these things we can be doing to get there.
When I was a freshman in high school, a buddy of mine, his name was Michael, He opened up to me. He was only 14 at the time, and it was very courageous of him to do it. But he said that he was leaving school that day to go to a psychiatry appointment that his parents had scheduled because he struggled with clinical depression, even at an age that young. And I was like, so tell me more about that. Like, what is that like? And he said, imagine that there's a storm cloud in your head brewing at all times, and no matter what you do, you cannot clear it to see the sun again. And that stuck with me for 12 years now. And I always think I always thought it was like a great metaphor for what the experience of depression is. For those who can't rely on themselves, like you said, you talked about how it would be great if someone struggling with depression can challenge themselves to like bring them out into healthy habits and life changes. What about for the people who can't do that or are struggling to do that? Where do they go? Who do they turn to?
Your community. I mean, us as humans, I really believe you're nothing without the people around you. And God forbid you don't have those people, but I would hope everybody listening right now that, like, if you feel that sense of weakness, which all of us do, and you can't rely on yourself to find those, you know, things to be coping with, to come out of depression, it is an absolute must. You find the right people. That's your healthcare providers. If that's your therapist, that's one side. Then you have your actual life, right? Then you have your friends and your family, your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your dogs. Like there's a lot of healing in that. And but it has to be the right people, right? Because in depression, people collapse all the time. Collapse could be you break down crying in the middle of a coffee shop, or it could be that you're walking and you're just like, I don't want to be on this walk anymore. I'm going home, and you want to shut down. And you have to have the right sensitivity with those, right? With those humans, because someone that can understand that, they're not going to get mad at you for saying like, you don't want to go on the walk with them anymore. You're depressed. That's literally a mental health disorder. We've talked about it already. Like, or if you start crying in the middle of the coffee shop, like they're there for you and they're going to make sure that no one can, they're going to make sure you're not embarrassed for that, right? It will be in a corner, like you're good. Like, let's try to collect as much as we can from this. Like, how can we go, right? And so like when I say healthy routines and habits, you know, it's taken a lot for someone like you and I to like find the right things to go back to, but you got to build a small system, to be honest with you. I hate to be, you know, weird about that, but there's a system that you're going to end up building as you struggle with depression, anxiety, all these things we've talked about all season, you know? And then you got to remember, okay, oh, I feel really depressed, but I remember when I was depressed last time, I got to do these things and I remember I was healed after. Or, oh, I remember that last time I was depressed. I don't care how long I was depressed. I just remember when I was feeling that, I was doing these things to feel better.
Do you think that people struggling with depression would find it difficult to open up to another person, even if it is a therapist mm-hmm. or a family member, about their struggles?
Same goes for half the other topics. The answer is yes, because that's why we started this podcast. It's these open conversations are not easy. They're yeah. really hard. If you're depressed for whatever it might be and you're listening to this right now, we're with you. It is so hard, like effing hard, to just say, you know what? Let me open my mouth. And we can talk about from last week, right? We were talking about like when I have ADHD, I talk a lot, right? So the same person listening right now, if you have ADHD, I'd imagine you are a little bit easier of a person that opens up if you're depressed, right? To stay on the topic. And then for someone like Kevin, maybe it was a little challenging. You tell me, like, was it harder when you were dealing with depression to open up to the right people? As opposed to someone like me who's super extroverted, and I remember it being easy to open up.
It's a really good question. For me, I have to admit, it hasn't been too difficult. But I think that's because maybe I'm just the 1 in 100 type of guy who's already very cognizant about his mental health. I mean, I am running a mental health podcast with you, you know, mm-hmm. I think that helps me to be more open, because I am not afraid anymore to have these kinds of conversations with people and talk about my mental health. And usually when I do, I've learned that I am appreciated and respected and heard mm-hmm. by the people whom I choose to tell. So I never found it too difficult, but that's just my personal experience. Mm. However, I know for a fact that that is probably not the majority of people struggling with
depression.
I was just
going to say the same thing. And it's as much as it hurts, it's like anything. If you wanted to play basketball, you have to start shooting, and you're not going to make the free throws, right? That example stands with opening up about your mental health. You know, when you want to, you know you have to. Like, part of this healing process, we've talked about it this entire season and on the show in general, like it comes down to opening up. And you know, if that's a therapist, I guess if you're listening and you know deep down it is very challenging for you to open up, and you're just now becoming as aware as Kevin and I want you to be about your mental health struggles, finding the right people, again, experts, therapists, loved ones. It doesn't have to be your friend from 20 years, right? Your friend of 20 years might be the wrong person. It could be someone you just meet. I remember we talked about friendships and relationships last season. last season. And the most beautiful thing you can do when you're struggling with depression, I believe, is to just let that shit out with the people you love.
You know what's funny? I in the past, I have actually told people I've struggled with mental health within like hours of meeting them. Like if I'm at a party or something and I just happen to have a non-alcoholic beer in my hand and I'm perusing the room and I jump into conversation with someone, like it may come up. It's happened before. And then like, despite the fact that I'm like just meeting this person, they feel compelled to tell me as well, like, no way, I struggle with depression too. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the coolest thing. Cause it's like, it's kind of what you're saying. You don't necessarily have to know someone for a long time to be able to be open about your experience with mental health struggles. And more often than not, people, you know, the climate around mental health is changing and people are more open to talk about it. Mm-hmm. More often than not, you might find that you're received with sort of like a mutual relatability over it. And I just think that's really cool too, you know, like...
And I go back to what I said earlier, where like us as humans are nothing without humans.
Yeah, we're very social creatures.
We talked about loneliness, remember that? And how do you combat loneliness? We stuck on the same topic of relationships, how it tied to that. You know, we're not meant to be alone. So as you're struggling with things like depression, you owe it to yourself. I would hate to say that we're all responsible for that. That's the wrong way to say it. But you do owe it to yourself to connect with people. As you are struggling, how about this? On your happiest days and your lowest days, bottom line, my recommendation is stay connected to the ones that love you. And loving you doesn't have to mean they've known you for 20 years. Let's do this really quickly and we'll go into sadness. Sorry, how it's different from depression.
We might need to say something to lighten up the mood.
Yeah. Well, this is where I'm going subject, with this, right? Yeah, but...
Crack me a joke.
I'm not good at that. When was the last time you laughed?
Probably.
I mean, yesterday?
Yeah,
yesterday. We were laughing a lot at dinner.
Yeah, we were.
Tell me about your happiest moment. And I have a reason for that.
The happiest moment I've ever experienced.
That you can remember.
You do have a reason for this story?
Yes.
Okay. How do I even identify one? There's so many. Just
give me, how about this? The most recent happy moment you've had. That's actually better.
Okay. I would say...
And you can't say when we were recording this podcast.
I know. That was my first thought. This is my happy place. Honestly, it's not the most recent, but one of the like happiest moments I have in memory is going skiing in Jackson Hole, Wyoming with my significant other, Kelby, the love of my life, who loves Justin and Justin loves her. I was just at the top of this mountain in Jackson Hole and I was like overlooking this beautiful, vast like valley. And it was just like covered in snow and it was like near Teton National Park or whatever. And so it's just like this gorgeous natural beauty. And I just remember being up on that mountain, like overlooking this landscape. And I was like, this feeling of immense, what's the word? Awe, like astonishment overcame me that I was like, I can't believe this is like, life, that this beauty exists in the natural world. And it made me feel very happy to be alive, just standing on the top of that mountain, you know, appreciating a view like that, where it's like even the fact that we have like ski lifts to take us up to the top of the mountain, like, because otherwise I'd never be at the top of a mountain, but it's like today's technology like allows me to go skiing on the top of a mountain. It's just cool, you know? That was my happiest moment.
And you say Calby was with you.
She was.
So here's where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
On the most recent day you've ever felt depressed, right? Just think of that for 2 seconds. If that was yesterday, if that was 2 weeks ago, like, tell me that if you hadn't thought about, like, if you were to think about that moment at the top of the mountain with someone that you love,
yeah,
and life just felt in awe and somehow brought you happiness. if you had used that as a tool on that day that you were depressed, tell me that that's not a great way to start. At least that's a great starting place for those who are just getting started with how to work on their depression and heal.
Whoa, bro, I am impressed how you tied that. Wow.
I actually just made all that up. Sitting here, I was like, we need something a little bit more like uplifting.
Psychoanalyst Justin over here.
But
I see why you led with that and how you tied it back. But like,
I've done it every time.
What that kind of reminds me of is like cognitive behavioral therapy in a
absolutely
way. You know what I mean? It's like this psychotherapy that you have to consciously change your thinking in moments that you're feeling depression.
That at least gets you out of your head.
Totally.
Or at least in a better place in your head. Then before you know it, you are just on the right path.
Yeah. Because
then you can get into a happier headspace to then start taking some physical activity or to call the right people or to join that therapy session with your therapist.
Yeah. On those days.
Do the work.
Yeah. I mean, on those days when I felt depressed, like I know for a fact that would help me to think about like standing on that mountain with a loved one, overlooking this beautiful landscape at a time where I felt happy to be alive. Mm. Because in the moment I'm experiencing depression, I probably am not feeling too happy to be alive. So if I can change my thinking and remember a time where I'm like, wow, I am lucky and grateful to be alive. Look at all this beauty and how beautiful life is. Things will get better. That's a fact. That is a fact in dealing with depression. Depression could last for weeks, months, years even. And although it may suck, at some point it's going to get better. That is a 100% fact. Because nothing lasts forever. You're not going to go an entire lifetime depressed. And if you are feeling that depression for that long, then at that point, like hopefully, I would hope that our listener has found resources that like antidepressants or therapy that helps them so that it doesn't last forever. But I don't believe that it does last forever.
And the more you experience it, which is, we talked about this, it is inevitable, right? But the more you experience it, the easier it gets. That's how life works.
Yeah.
Even on the darkest days and those cloudy moments in the head, to your friend's point, like the more you get the reps in on how to at least deal and heal with depression, it happens to somehow just get easier. Right. All right. We're going to take a deep turn. I'm just kidding. So depression, as it's different from sadness, this is more of an educational opportunity, I think, for all of us.
Please.
Rather than anything sad. Sadness and or grief slash bereavement.
Yeah. You talk about how they're different.
Yeah. The death of a loved one, loss of a job, or the ending of a relationship of a particular experience for a person to endure. That's essentially what, sadness and grief and all that stuff feels like. It is normal for the feelings of sadness or grief to develop in response to such situations like that. Those experiencing loss often might describe themselves as being depressed. That's important to remember. But being sad is not the same thing as having depression. The grieving process is natural and unique to each individual and shares some of the same features of depression. Both grief and depression may involve intense sadness and withdrawal from usual activities. There are also different and important ways. So here they go. There's three very important ways. In grief, painful feelings come in waves, often intermixed with positive memories of the deceased. In major depression, mood and or interests, pretty much pleasure, right, are decreased for most of 2 weeks.
Sounds about right.
Also in grief, self-esteem is usually maintained. In major depression, feelings of worthlessness and self-loathing are common. Yep, totally makes sense. In grief, thoughts of death may surface when thinking of... In grief, thoughts of death may surface when thinking of or... Hold on. Let me think. I know. We'll cut this part out. In major depression, thoughts are focused on ending one's life due to feelings of worthlessness or underserving of living or being able to cope with the pain of depression. But in grief, a lot of the times people are thinking about joining the deceased of the loved one. So...
Wait, say that again? So in grief, they're thinking about joining?
That's what it says here.
Oh, wow.
So the thought of death is different in grief versus depression. One is like, one may want to sadly go and leave. And then the other times in grief, it does make sense that like you just simply want to rejoin the one you've lost because you miss them so much. It's really crazy.
That's deep, man. I didn't even think about,
and
I'm going to be honest, I haven't really thought about that aspect of grief.
Yeah.
I personally haven't experienced that, but it makes sense to me that people would, like, that you lose someone so dear to you and so loved that you may not necessarily be depressed, but simply out of grief feel tempted to, unfortunately,
want to still be with them.
Yeah.
I mean, that hurts. And like, do you remember ever hearing stories about like a human passing and then the dog shortly after goes away?
I have heard stories.
That's crazy. And I don't know if that's,
or like the couple,
not to get morbid, but
well, or like the couple where it's like the husband dies and then 2 days later the wife dies. Like Carrie Fisher and who was her mom?
I don't know.
Do you remember her mom?
Mm-mm.
The actress. I don't remember, but...
But there was a very short period.
Deborah something.
But there was a short timeline,
you're saying?
Oh, yeah,
it was like 2 days. Her daughter died, Carrie Fisher died, and then she died.
The mom passed, right? Yeah. So the reason I bring that up is because, like, not to get dark even more, but
Debbie Reynolds. Debbie Reynolds is her name.
Okay. When my grandmother passed away, our golden retriever and cat both died not shortly after that. And those pets loved her, right? This was in Japan. And I remember when my mom said that, I was like, does that mean that their souls are connected? That could be one way to look at it, right? Mm. Another part of it, I was like, does that mean that like every time someone's heart gets that broken, right? Because the broken heart is a thing. And maybe the dog and cat, I think, were also very old. So age has a lot to do with what we're talking about for this quick second. And it happens a lot where one passes and then if anyone's in that same age group, including pets, mostly pets I've seen, right, and heard about, they end up passing away as well, probably from a broken
that
heart.
That is bizarre. So do you think you can actually, like, die of a broken heart?
Oh, that's another episode. I believe that.
Maybe it is another episode.
Like, broken heart hurts. Like, think of the time we talked, you
and I
talked
about
love
last night.
I mean,
you would have
to have
a significantly broken heart.
Right, which means you were very much in that person's life with them. Mm-hmm. So anyway, okay, so...
Anyway.
All that to say...
Let's think of
there's
a joke
a difference.
To
nah, I mean, listen, these are important topics, but
they
like,
are.
I think, simply put, anybody who's listening, if you're going through depression or if you're going through grief, let's ultimately say here, they're two separate things that can coexist, yet just knowing what both of them are... And how you feel comfortable opening up about it to, you know, heal is kind of what we're saying here.
Justin, what's the best time to go to the dentist?
Oh gosh, every 6 months?
2:30.
2:30? Oh, 2:30. Oh, 2:30. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. I thought he was like making fun of an Asian accent.
Trying to lighten up the mood. You thought that?
Yeah.
God, I'm not that shallow.
Yeah, but you know my humor is pretty much like that.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. Risk factors. Do you want to take risk factors here? Well, I'm going to give Kevin this iPad back. And anybody who's tuning in right now, just so we kind of get you guys back on the same page as us, you're never going to know when these feelings and symptoms, I guess, right, of depression may come up and you're going to feel it, but don't expect it, right? That goes to our episode last week about anxiety. You don't want to think too much about the next time you'll be depressed, or kind of let it come in waves, but also embrace it. Gets easier. Kevin's like about to crack another joke. I'm trying to help the folks listening. You literally...
It's so heavy, man. I don't
of course
want,
it's heavy. It's a heavy podcast.
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it anymore either.
No, I'm just kidding. It's a noble thing. We have to talk about it. All right? Okay? That's right.
That's right.
Luminosity, this is a podcast where we're unafraid to talk about these things. And I'm not going to lie, man. It gets tough to like talk about this stuff on the podcast.
Because you and I relate to every single topic.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, But I know, like, what keeps me going is, like, I know that it's important for our listeners. And they
Yeah, we're hurting it. Just as much as you guys might be listening and then opening up to someone after you've heard an episode, like, how that might feel, like, hurt. Not yeah. hurt. It's hard.
You know what's
and
also...
it, like, aches you a little bit. That's how yeah. these conversations feel.
And also, in this part of my life, I feel generally happy.
Yeah.
Like, I've done so much work in my mental health, but, like... talking about it almost like triggers these memories of when I was going through these things that were, and times where it was so bad where I was like, well, damn, I could end my own life right now. So I've been there. And so it's like talking about it triggers those memories, even though in this moment I'm okay. And I'm doing much better. You know?
And that's normal. Do you remember when Drake and you were talking weeks ago about how he was like in the heaviest point of his life? Still yeah. is, to be honest. And both of you were able to relate on like how heavy the conversation was, but how light you felt talking about it.
Yeah.
And how that was then his healing process. And same with you when you've had suicidal thoughts or went through rehab and all these other things. But I think I don't know. It's just always going to be hard. It's going to be hard and heavy. So then like enjoy the good days. And when you get to consider it the hard parts of your life, then just like call, you know, that's why we did this show, right? We have weeks on end about resources and topics. And if you guys want to scroll through and just kind of see these other topics we talked about, you know, they're all backed with the same stuff we've been talking about here in season two, but they'll help you ultimately, at least help you figure out what path you want to go on.
And once you talk about it, it's just this weight lifted that ultimately alleviates a lot of the suffering, I think, that a lot of people experience associated with these, like depression. So let's talk about risk factors. Depression can affect anyone, even a person who appears to live in relatively ideal circumstances. So it really can affect anyone. And there is a video that I saw. I can't remember if I saw it on YouTube or where I saw it, but I think it was produced by like a depression coalition or something, like nonprofit. And, it's a video of two friends, two men, probably in their 50s, at a soccer game in England.
Oh, it's fun.
And one of them is sitting quietly and sort of looks like he's in a down mood. And he's watching the game. There's a goal. You saw this. Everyone gets up and cheers. And then his friend gets up and cheers, is like super ecstatic. He's so joyful. Like you can tell he's happy. He doesn't look like he's struggling. And he tries to like console the one who's not having a lot of fun. Like, come on, are you having fun? Like, and then like fast forward, they go back to another soccer game. And at this point it was later in time. And we see that it's the man who we initially thought was depressed, who was like super quiet and not really engaging in the game, he's sitting there and he leaves like a bouquet of flowers or something on the chair. And it turns out that was the one who was struggling and took his own life.
Oh, I get cold
like,
chills.
It's just a good representation of how like even someone who appears joyous and like, you know, happy, even while juxtaposed against someone who looks sad, like could ultimately be the one struggling with depression. And I thought I think it's a very important video in showing how depression really doesn't discriminate and can affect anyone.
It doesn't discriminate and it doesn't have a look, you know? I'll be honest, there's moments where, especially if your occupation kind of relies on your personality, for instance, like Kevin acts and he performs, sings, and him and I live in an industry that's like very on and everything is reliant on our personalities. Yeah, there's many days like that, to be honest with you, just to give a quick example where like I'd be severely depressed and I would still like put on a happy face because everyone thinks Justin's so happy and everyone loves when Justin does backflips and da 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 da. And it's like,
I've made you do backflips before.
Yeah. You know,
you should have told me you hated it that much.
I didn't hate it.
Like you go home after I asked you to do a backflip at
but you
Santa
met
Monica
me in
Beach.
My happy place. Yeah, no.
We were
no,
at Santa
no.
Monica Beach and I asked Justin, I was like, you can do a backflip? Oh, yeah. And he's like, duh, I was on the cheer team. And then I'm like, all right, do it right now. And he does it. Meanwhile, you probably moped home and went back to You're home that night and just cried.
Cried.
And
like, no.
Self-medicated.
I don't think I cried in LA
I
once.
I hate this.
I mean, I did actually. That's when I lost my friends. Okay, this is all adding up. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God.
But anyway.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't apologize.
Risk factors. Let's keep going here. Several factors can play a role in depression. Number one, biochemistry. Differences in certain chemicals in the brain may contribute to symptoms of depression. We've heard about chemical imbalances and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Genetics. Depression can run in families. For example, if one identical twin has depression, the other has a 70% chance of having the illness sometime in life. Personality. People with low self-esteem, who are easily overwhelmed by stress, or who are generally pessimistic appear to be more likely to experience depression. And finally, environmental factors such as continuous exposure to violence, neglect, abuse, or poverty may make some people more vulnerable to depression.
Mm.
So how do we treat it? We treat it with medication. Antidepressants are sort of the gold standard, in my opinion. I take Lexapro as someone who can advocate towards the effectiveness of antidepressants. Psychotherapy and CBT, as we've talked about, cognitive behavioral therapy is just also kind of a gold standard in terms of the kind of psychotherapy that someone should consider going for. Here's another one, electroconvulsive therapy. It's used as a last resort treatment. I took an intro to psychology class at NYU my first semester of school, and there was this whole unit about it, and they talk about the potential benefits of electroconvulsive therapy. And basically, as a last resort, if antidepressants therapy are not working and this is like severe, severe depression that cannot be fixed by any other means, they like put these, I don't even know, like they're like electric shock devices, apparati. Is that the word? Apparati?
Like little circle stickers on your face?
Apparatuses, like- yeah. Yeah, and they put it like on your temples or whatever, and they actually like conduct electricity like into your brain to like rewire the
I believe that
the neurotransmitters or something, how they're received, and but it's surprisingly effective. But you it's not like a one and done kind of thing. You have to like
sure.
come back for more appointments. But I don't know why it's a last resort treatment.
Well, because imagine, right? If you're dealing, this is all for depression. So like if you're stuck in the past and you keep replaying memories or replaying the grief, the loss, and right, then maybe there is some rewiring to be done. I think that's, I would never probably do that. I don't know if you would, but like, it's kind of like maybe yeah. allowing people to say, hey, it's like when you give someone, not CPR, those little zzz and like.
Oh, the defibrillator?
Yeah. And it shocks them back up, and maybe they do. I mean, that's a bodily thing. But
so
it's
if
like
it's that,
maybe shaking them clear.
From what I understand, and from what I like read about it in school, it's very effective. So my question is like, why don't we lead with that first,
well,
as opposed to like medication and therapy being the primary treatment, and then that the ECR therapy, or
many reasons
being a last resort. Do you know?
I'd say number one is everyone has different. I hate to say levels. Everyone has different levels of their experiencing with depression. So if someone's severely depressed and it's just they can't come out of that mud, that sounds like a good answer, right? Or a good resolution. Whereas solution, not resolution. Someone like us, and we've been dealing with this for a long time, we wouldn't go do that, I don't think. And then, of course, financially, people can't afford that stuff. That's probably like thousands of dollars.
And also, like, I think for most people, antidepressants and therapy probably helps to some extent.
Boom.
So
we hear
no
from everyone all the time.
To get electroconvulsive therapy. It's probably more invasive, I'd imagine. Mm-hmm. And so I could see how it
a
would
bit traumatizing
be
too.
Yeah.
Because then you're losing memory or whatever they're doing to rewire your brain. Yeah. Who knows that's how it's going to affect you.
I mean, from what I understand, it's almost like a mini, they're inducing like a mini seizure. To
correct.
Sort of
and I'd be scared of the side effects.
Yeah. I'm sure there are some.
There's
but nonetheless, we have to reiterate that this is an effective last resort treatment.
Last resort.
Treatment also includes healthy lifestyle habits like diet and sleep, which we talked about. And just so the listener is aware, you know, this when we talk about depression, our mind sort of goes to like major depressive disorder. But there are other forms of depression or similar mental health disorders that are along the lines of depression, but aren't quite like major depressive disorder, like bipolar disorder, because that's manic depression. There is a depressive phase where someone is experiencing clinical and intense depression if they are dealing with bipolar disorder, but it's also counteracted by the fact that they're having manic episodes where they feel elated and euphoric, and that is not depression. Right. So it's similar in that you experience depression, but you're also experiencing this other thing where it's not quite depression.
Absolutely.
Postpartum depression, right?
Oh, yeah.
Someone just has a kid.
Yeah.
That's a very common thing for new mothers to experience. I have known people to experience it. Very difficult, but there is help for that. And there's hope. Seasonal depression, you know, sometimes it's a real thing for people to have clinical depression associated with the seasons. You know, you might get it around winter when, you know, it's more gloomy out, but it's, and it shows how much we are attuned with our natural environment, you know, that it can actually induce depression.
That's why we live in California. Just kidding. That's why I lived in California.
Well, don't they say like people who live in Seattle or whatever, where it rains a lot, they're higher levels of
absolutely. Or even if you live in the cities that have all seasons, like one of my good girlfriends in Nashville just said that this past winter season, or when we're coming into spring, she goes, my seasonal depression's killing me. And she meant it because she was real depressed.
Yeah.
But then on the good days, she has the best days of her life.
So Justin, as we wrap up here, are there any previous episodes of the podcast that you can think of that we could maybe redirect listeners to if they are experiencing depression?
Shoo. I'd have to look.
Yeah. I kind of want to.
Does anything come to mind for you?
I mean, one that came to mind was we did an episode on
grief and loss.
Grief and loss.
It was heavy, but we did it.
Yeah, I think that could be useful. So listener, if you feel your depression is related to grief or loss, and having lost someone recently, first of all, we're so sorry if that is what you're dealing with. We hope you know you're not alone, and there are many who have experienced exactly what you're feeling. So we did do an episode on that if you want to take a look.
And there's one, and that's episode 11. Yeah. We did one. This is very, I think it would be very good for you guys to consider, but that is episode 7, believe it or not, personality types.
I thought about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, if anything, if you know your personality type, listener, maybe that can inform how you are more or less susceptible to experiencing depression and learning more about just who you are as a person. Because as we said in our episode here today, that personality is indeed a risk factor of depression. So just another way for you to stay luminous, enlightened, and aware.
And lastly, number 9, happiness hormones. Because if you can understand what sets your brain into certain of those four, right? Oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins. Maybe you can attach the right activities and things you're doing throughout your days to kind of spike those, right? Because for instance, if you're going to exercise and you want the endorphin, that helps. It really helps.
Good. Good. Well, I feel like, did we keep it light? What do you think?
I think we did okay.
We did okay. Like
no one cried. we'll go lighten the mood after this. Yeah. Matthew agrees.
They're heavy topics, you know. But listener, we do it for you. And we're going to go have fun today. We hope you choose to do the same. It's Saturday. We're recording this on a Saturday in beautiful Santa Monica, California. Although it's kind of gloomy out today, so maybe depression was the right move. But I don't know. What are you doing for the rest of the day?
Ooh, I fly back tomorrow. I'm going to leave Kevin and go back to Nashville.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it will be a good day. I think I'm going to spend some time with people I really like here in LA. And you know me, I love my alcohol. So we're going to go get a drink at a rooftop.
Okay. Don't promote that on a mental health podcast, you dingus.
I know. I like a little, how about this? I like a little glass of wine. So do that. Get ready to go back and see family tomorrow. So yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, man. I think I'm going to get some work done today. Hang with my dog.
He loves his dog.
Man, he's the best.
Remember when I kept calling him Rigsby?
I know. Yeah, because he didn't know his name. Rigsby. His name is Wrigley, like Wrigley chewing gum, listener. Actually, do you know how I named him Wrigley?
Chicago.
Well, there is a tie to Chicago because like the Wrigley building and... Wrigley Field. I'm a Cubs fan.
Yes.
But also, I wanted his name to have a tie to Southern California.
Okay.
And in Catalina Island, one of my favorite places in Southern California, there's the Wrigley Mansion, which was owned by the Wrigley family, who are the same ones. Like,
plot twist, the dog was part of that family before Kevin.
Right. But the Cubs actually trained on Catalina, which I always thought was really cool. And so I named him Wrigley. But
damn. All right, let's bounce into the weekend. So if you've tuned in, thank you so much for being here. We're happy you either came back or clicked play for the first time. And if you're watching this video, we haven't looked at the cameras enough. So thank you so much. Here's a little, if we can, to you guys.
Sending you some love.
All the way. And we can't wait to see you guys again or be in your ears again whenever that time might be. And just be sure to check out those episodes we recommended. Follow us on social media if you want some of that good energy on your Instagram feed. And or rating and reviews. If you haven't left one yet, we'd really appreciate it. It's how the show grows. And we can't thank you enough for tuning in.
And as we leave you here today, I'm going to sing a song that I wrote when I was experiencing depression from my new album. Called Real Me. Ready? Feel the pressure mounting, and the clock keeps counting. Did my best, don't doubt it, but nothing's working. Try to keep on dreaming, but when I just don't see it. Try to keep believing, when I lose the feeling. And I tell myself, kid, just keep breathing. Oh, I don't know where I'm going, but I know I'm not there yet. Oh, yeah.
I can hear all the claps. That was amazing. All right, we'll leave you with that, folks.
Yeah, we'll leave you with that.
Catch you next week on Luminosity.
Adios, amigos.